Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal. You are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We want to welcome in the county executive, Brenton Davis. Glad that you were able to join with us here, County Executive. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Good to be here as always.
All righty. You had a recent visit to Washington, D.C. You're on these like national committees. Can you talk about some of this work here?
Yes. I mean, that's a big opportunity. I mean, these are opportunities that Erie County has never had. So this past year, I was I received a presidential appointment through the National Association of Counties to be the chairman for the country for our International Economic Development Task Force. You know, I mean, it's opportunities like that that connect us with countries across the world.
Wow.
You know, bringing opportunities here and being able to lead a group of my peers from across the nation and seeing what places are doing and getting it right, the best practices, and seeing the more challenged areas and being able to give back to them as well. But it squarely places Erie County in the driver's seat in terms of attracting investment like we never have before.
Have you seen some of these concepts of direct international investments? I'm thinking of like Dayton, for example. Dayton got that big investment from Japan. We're kind of getting a bit of that with that Kyocera deal, right?
So some of that. So I mean, that's called it's called FDI. So that's foreign direct investment. So I mean, that's right on line with the we've made substantial investments through economic development. I mean, we just had another meeting today to go to a thing called Select USA. It's the largest foreign direct investment conference in the world. And just to be able to prepare to not only play on par with our peers, but I'd say we're playing on pars as a county with other states at this point. You know, so, I mean, we're going this year. We went last year. You know, that's how we got the gentleman from South Africa that came, you know, a few other of the foreigners. So we've had five or six international companies come and visit and tour and, you know, some domestic companies as a result of Select USA. So, I mean, we're really going down there loaded for bear this year, better prepared. We're starting a webinar with all of our peers through this economic development, the IED task force that I'm a chairman of. We had the CEO of Select USA through the Chamber of Commerce. You know, I've got the Jobs Ohio. I had Select New Jersey. I've got a lot of folks that are really leaders in the economic development game that are my guests on these panels at some of these conferences, but also in the coming weeks as we school other Pennsylvania counties and other counties across the United States on how to prepare. You know, I mean, it's kind of ironic, you know, that we're leading, you know, national and international efforts and I'm being recognized for having that skill set. And, you know, it just kind of shows how Erie has kind of historically got that wrong. The rest of the world and the country says, hey, these guys in Erie County are doing it right. Let's put them in charge and let's let them lead folks to water. And then, you know, our council and their infinite wisdom is like, now let's just investigate you, you know, instead of really putting all the horses behind the cart and really pulling. I mean, this is just typical Erie doing what Erie does, you know. But I mean, I'm happy to put Erie County on the map, you know, to jockey for the things, you know, with the earmarks of the federal government to add on to Project Resolve. I mean, there was some question as to, you know, was there going to be some Republican politics that were played, you know, with Senator Fetterman's line item? So, I mean, I wasn't going to wait. I went down to Harrisburg. D.C.'s a stone's throw from there. And I was like, you know what? Like, we can't leave anything on the table. So it gets time to go and play football where we can. So, you know, I just knocked on every door I possibly could, had every conversation I could have. And, you know, as we could find out that the line item survived the budget. So there's another $2.5 million towards Project Resolve. You know, that's...
Yeah, that's in the... It's in the
PA. In the federal.
It's in the federal budget.
That was a line item from Senator Fetterman.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. So that's in addition to...
Well, that's fantastic.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Oh my gosh! All right, tell me. I gotta go into that that council news about they're wanting to examine your economic development office. What is the state of your office? Because Joe Sennett, the former mayor of Erie, moved as your director of administration, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is real simple. So, I mean, you know, there's some council members that want to put out there like, oh my God, these costs have ballooned. The costs have not ballooned for anything for the taxpayer. So imagine you have several different departments. And I mean, when I took over, you know, organizational leadership was one of my strong points. I mean, as a contractor and as a military officer, you figure out how to get the most out of your organization. Well, you've got a data person, you've got GIS people in planning, you've got IT people scattered all over the county. Like, it's just not conducive for getting the most performance, just like a coach. I don't care how the last coach did it. This is how we're going to do it. This is our offense. This is our defense. And these are who are playing these positions. So long story short, is all we did is brought the data and GIS resources from planning that used to fall under planning, so the costs would fall under planning. And I moved them in last year's budget under economic development. So is the economic development budget larger? Yes. Is the county's budget larger as a result? No. I mean, that's essentially taking a $5 bill, moving it from your left pocket and putting it in your right pocket and claiming that you have more money. You know, and I mean, that's what some of these members of council. So, I mean, it's either...
Wouldn't we have already known this when we passed the budget?
And that's the point. But you get new council members that, okay, the budget was passed in December. Yeah. And then you get some newbies that show up that obviously don't understand the county budget and how to read it.
Mm-hmm.
That, oh my God, this is a travesty because the number got larger. Well, I mean, to me, it's either one of two things. Either you don't know what the heck you're doing in terms of a county budget and you don't know how to read it, which is alarming. Or you do know what it is and you're just simply playing politics. I mean, to me, which is it?
Well, I'll give them a little bit of a benefit of the doubt. They're brand new. Did you see how big that budget is? I mean, maybe we need to have like a budget skills session.
What I would have to say to that is, Joel, is like, I hit the ground running as county executive. It took me 6 years to take this seat. And I spent every week, and I mean, I was on this show for years. You know, I spent every week of my life learning everything I could. I went and got a master's in economic development. I learned how to read municipal, you know, budgets and municipal finance and learn about the different mechanisms. If you take this office on day one and you need to learn, shame on you. You should be prepared to come in here and know what you're talking about. Or, you know what, if you need that 6 months or year to have a learning curve, you might want to do more listening and learning than just talking about nonsense. You know, because I'm going to call it out every single time. Like, I'm not backing down. You know, right is right and wrong is wrong. I mean, like I said, I don't need this job. I want this job.
Yeah.
I've said this over and over again. I'm here for the people of Erie County, and that's why, you know, we're going to shake trees and ruffle feathers, and folks are going to make wild accusations and get crazy and try to point to, what about this and what about that? Investigate whatever the heck you want. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there. I mean, everything in there, it's public. You know, there's no slush fund. There's no nothing. I mean, everything is approved in that budget, and council approved the spending up until that amount. Well, that's what we're doing.
Who runs economic development now? What's the nature of the staffing on the actual economic side, not the GIS and all that stuff?
So, I mean, obviously right now we have Joe Sennett until he takes over April 1st as the director of administration, but we're currently searching for the new director. You know, we've got some applications and doing some interviews, and then, you know, we've got Jeffrey Cooper that handles the townships. We got John Whaley that does the business development and the real estate things. Like, you know, he's a certified real estate agent and does very well. We've got Tatiana Bogatova that came over from the data center. So a lot of these data and GIS resources were down in planning. Well, now we utilize them in my cabinet, right in the county executive's office. I mean, one example would be, you know, we're working with a particular entity. It's a $200 billion company, global, that's looking at locating here in Erie right now. We're doing a real estate search with them. This has just been in the past week. You know, I can't divulge what it is at this point with different non-disclosure stuff. But just being able to say, hey, John, do this real estate research. You know, I get on the horn to DEP, EPA, different permitting agencies, the townships, whatever it is where we're looking. You know, we look at the power, look at all the things. Like, we've done this inventory. We know where the available land is. We know.
Is the governor's action team involved?
So it's not quite to that point yet. I mean, like, we've got to figure out, does this work for them? So it's our job to really flesh this stuff out. And that's just one example of several that we work on constantly. And to be able to really put Erie County in the driver's seat, you know, I mean, these are things that the chamber years ago, God love them, they tried to do. But when you don't have the authority to pen deals, I mean, really, you're just putting together a Christmas wish list at that point. You know, I mean, you have to have the authority to pen a deal to really make things happen. And this is where when Erie County did away with their economic development department, the county executive and the administration thought, hey, you know, the chamber and the redevelopment authority, these folks are doing this. Well, even those authorities don't have the power to pen deals. They don't have the power to convene people. You know, when we can pick up the phone and we can get the DEP secretary on the phone, we can get the governor on the phone, you know, we can get anybody on the phone. It doesn't matter what it is. Hey, let's have a conversation. I need you five entities in this room to war game this through. That's how you bring investment here. You know, Governor Shapiro, he's talking a big game about wanting to compete with Ohio.
Right.
Well, this thing that we're working on right now, this is going to be his first shot. Like, here we are, right on the boundary with Ohio. I'm going to serve this up on a platter to you and put your money where your mouth is. If he's really serious about this, we're going to start teeing up golf balls and he'd better start swinging.
I don't mean to sound negative, but I'm not sure he has the kind of dollars behind him. What did he claim? He had $10 billion for economic development or something, or maybe it's $10 million.
No, $10 million.
So the
$10 million was for site development. I tell folks like Jobs Ohio that I'm doing this webinar with here next week. You know, they've got $700 million for site development. I mean, the governor's on the right track, but the numbers just don't add up. But to me,
I mean, $10 million might be enough for half of a year for Erie County.
Well, but think about this. I mean, between Erie County ARPA dollars and Penn State, we have $10 million in Project Resolve in one project. Yeah. So to me, I'm not counting, but you know what? Like I said, as a leader, you've got to find a way. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, to me, if I was in Governor Shapiro's situation, I mean, he argues he's the only governor with a split legislature and Senate.
Right.
You know, but to me, I think you're in a prime deal-making opportunity. That means that you've only got to sway a few votes to get something done.
You can do a lot of triangulation,
you know,
right now.
I have had a greater deficit with a county council that's been a majority Democratic, 4-3 from the very beginning, and we still got all this stuff done. Mm. And now it's 5-2, and we're still getting stuff done.
I want to ask you about why it seems like you feel like this economic development department has to be in competition with, let's say, the Erie County Redevelopment Authority.
So it's not competition because
do they fit together?
So then? To me, so what you got to realize is the Redevelopment Authority is an authority that is completely appointed by the county executive. So to me, that's like, as a carpenter, that's like comparing your tin snips to your hammer. You know what I mean? They're all tools in my tool belt. They all work together. And each one has a particular task. The Redevelopment Authority, like working together with the deal we're putting together with the Port Authority to condemn, you know, the Erie Coke plant. And I mean, that's 20 years away from coming to fruition with the remediation anyway. But they have specific powers, specific abilities, things like a revolving loan fund to be able to loan out money to do things like the expansion at Shearers, to do the Berry Plastics, to, you know, make low interest revolving loan funds available for businesses to expand. You know, those are all things. So like to me, that's a different tool.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, to rely completely on the Redevelopment Authority to go out and do 100% of the marketing plus the loans, plus the remediations, plus the brownfield, like it's too much. So, I mean, to me, they focus, and that's my mission to them, is to focus on doing things well. It's like acquiring the land. It's developing the business parks. It's redeveloping the land and then marketing that land, but then also giving us something that we can market. It's a site development. Mm-hmm. The Redevelopment Authority is a mechanism to help us develop those sites. That's why when you looked at Fairview Business Park out in Pleasant Ridge, that's why we transferred that to the Redevelopment Authority, because they have the ability to acquire different funding. Right. They have the ability to do different things, and they can do it much more quickly and efficiently, legally, than what county government can do. Economic development, you got to think of like the economic development department for the county is much like your offensive team. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that's hockey or football or soccer, you're out on the wings, you're running the field. You know what I mean? Like, you're out there just putting yards one after the next. Like, every day you should be moving that football forward, mm-hmm. and constantly selling this community, constantly fleshing through deals, and not all of them are going to work. You know, and that's our job, is to kind of war game them out, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, right. but to find that diamond in the rough, find that really great idea. I mean, like this idea that we're sifting through now.
Do you have the land for this idea?
It's not, this actual particular idea isn't going to take a ton of land.
Okay.
You know, so I mean, that's the difference. I mean, there are some things, that's where folks are saying like, oh, you're focused on 100 plus acre sites. Well, we're also, this is another example of how we're marketing the smaller stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're finding things that are going to generate high-paying jobs, bringing that technology sector in here, and just leveraging contacts.
Okay.
You know, the more we put ourselves out there, I mean, just as me as a chair, every time I get up there and I speak to 200, 300, 500 people at some of these conferences, well, now, okay, so-and-so shares this on their social media, and, you know, the next day I have 100 people adding me on LinkedIn or whatever that want to have conversations. Wow. And that's how we keep moving this forward. We've never done that.
I want to pivot to the library, Brent, and see where that is all at. I know Gannon hired an architect. The latest I've heard is that the chairman of county council was looking to put a resolution through, and your attorney, the county solicitor, said, "Hey, look, this can't go." So you have Bill Spiros's opinion. Is there an opinion coming from the county's
frustrated with this whole legal opinion back and forth. I mean, anybody with an eighth grade reading level is able to open up the home rule charter and clearly see that nowhere anywhere, I mean, you show me one time in history where any council member has signed any contract. They don't have that, and that's to Bill Sparrow's legal point, is as a member of council, you have the ability to allocate funds, but you don't have the ability to execute them. That's why we're called the administration, and they're the council of the county. We administer the funds, just like you saw with the DEI funds. They could pass something 7-0, and this is where this new council, again, doesn't know their powers. They come in, you can pass it 7-0. You can allocate money for anything under the sun. It doesn't mean that we have to spend it. Just like they're going to allocate, say, almost $600 million this year. Does that mean I have to spend all $600 million? No, I don't. You know, I don't have to allocate it. So, I mean, that's the executive powers for the county executive. You're the only person that enters into or rescinds any contract. It's plain, clear, cut, and dry. So, I mean, to me, number one, a resolution is just something that is kind of feel good. It's like passing a proclamation. It doesn't have any teeth. You can pass any kind of resolution you want to. An ordinance is technically a county law. So when you pass an ordinance to, you know, put forward a lease, that's in the laws of the county. Like, one doesn't override the other. So, I mean, there's another thing there. So, I mean, there's several different flaws legally with it. I mean, to me, this is just either A, again, they don't understand what their powers are, or they do, and they're just placating to a base of people, which I think is...
But isn't their solicitor supposed to keep them on straight and narrow?
Listen, we've been over this from the very beginning. I mean, even Andre Horton said that he's the eighth member of council on several occasions. I've heard this out of many council members.
Talking about Tallarico, right?
So, I mean, I wouldn't trust the legal advice as far as you could throw them. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lawyer should not give you political advice. You shouldn't say, we want to do this. Your accountant shouldn't tell me, we want to do this. Like, this is what, like, no. Is this in the confines, spirit, letter, in the context of the law. That's what you need your attorney to tell you. You know, and that's not, unfortunately, with somebody that's been in this role for so long, they believe that they also carry counsel powers in which the attorneys do not. Yeah. They're just there merely to advise, and they can advise you one way. And I mean, there's times where Solicitor Tallarico advised them, hey, listen, you guys cannot do this, you know, and they went ahead and did it anyway, you know? So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's why we have our pending, you know, court hearings with counsel from the vetoes from last year.
Right.
You know, but ironically, okay, you want to sue me for striking something from the agenda when it should have been vetoed. Well, what are we looking at here this next council meeting? Wow, magically there's the veto. So I mean you're just shooting yourself legally in the foot. I mean, it'll make it interesting for court, but it just goes to show this is what irresponsible government in some instances look like. When you don't know what your powers are and you're quick to sue, you don't want to read the Home Rule Charter, who does this cost? The taxpayer money, it costs our community time and energy, but also you're being dishonest with these poor people that are standing out here in the cold thinking they have a chance to overturn this lease. They don't. This is a done deal. And now, I mean, 100% I'll veto it. 100% I will. But I won't veto it because it's what they're setting up. I'm vetoing it because it's an illegal action. You know, but I mean, if it kills two birds with one stone and people feel better about this having gone through the political process, the democratic process twice, now we can finally move forward and put a good program into the library, continue to invest in industrial clusters, research, education, cleaning up our Great Lakes, and competing on a higher level. There's other places across the country and through the Great Lakes we're already talking to that are super excited about this, that are looking for ways to partner, that are looking for ways to hitch our wagons together and drive this water research. Like, you wonder why our kids and our grandkids are leaving. This is why. I mean, we're like 48 of 50 right now in the United States for business, educational opportunities. 48 out of 50. You're getting beat by Alabama and Mississippi. What are you doing?
I got a couple more questions on the library thing, and then we're going to move to ECRA because there's been some developments since we last chatted. A.J. Rayo's reporting in the Erie Times News. Here's the headline. Davis administration stops former Erie County library director from serving on the library advisory board. I got to tell you, that's probably the first time the library advisory board's ever had a headline in the newspaper. But anyway, the administration believes Mary Rennie's involvement in recent protests against the administration make her an unfit candidate for the board. This was a candidate for the board from Rock Copeland. And you said you have the final say, so you said no.
So, I mean, let's explain, like, so the appointment process. So, yeah. I mean, the vast majority of appointments belong to that of the county executive under the advice and consent of council. So over the years, as a courtesy, I mean, I don't want to sit around and find 600 people to appoint the boards. Right. So as a courtesy, you convey them down to council. They find a name. They bring them to you. It's usually a collegial exchange, common sense. For
the governor does this for state authorities.
100%. I mean, you kind of look to your locals and say, hey, send me somebody. But, you know, you might send somebody to the
judges, even
anything.
You know? Yeah.
But you know what? You might send a recommendation and the governor or whoever could be like, you know, I appreciate your recommendation, but I'm going to appoint this person. And I have that ability, you know, but I'm not going to, for me, having to run the entire county and look out for the best interest of the entire county, you need to have stable boards. I mean, there's the same controversy. You know, I understood Kathy Dahlkemper, you know, she had council block my appointment to the community college before I got elected. You know, a lot of people forget about that. You know, this is the way this is done. And I understand because, I mean, I was in legal action. I spent my own money to sue for the community college. Like, you know, I sympathize with these folks that stand on a principle. I mean, I stood against a community college. We got far more signatures than they have on their petition. And, you know, we turned them in, and where'd they go? Probably in the trash. I hate to tell you, now seeing at the backside, an individual, I learned the hard way. I mean, it cost me over $10,000 to sue over the community college. An individual doesn't have standing when it comes to suing government entities. I learned that the hard way. I mean, I can give you a $10,000 worth of free advice, you know. But at the end of the day, I mean, former Councilwoman Rennie, I mean, is just not a good choice for this board. You need to bring stability to a board. We need to govern. You know, this isn't politics season. You know, this is time to govern. This is time to bring stability. This is time to move, you know, these different projects forward, you know, and she's threatening the media. I mean, she's quoted in the media that legal action's not off the table. I mean, who's going to do that? You know, that's like if legal action
from whom to whom?
Well, I mean, she's talking about the group. The group could potentially bring legal action and let them.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if you want to...
Regarding
Neptune and the lease, I mean, you're going to learn the hard way. Again, I'll give you $10,000 of free advice right now. If you'd like to sue, sue, but it's not going to end well for you. But to me, it's just another distraction, you know, from the status quo. We see it everywhere. We see it with Neptune. We see it with these protesters. You know, like there's a lot of folks that this is eerie. We've said this time and time again. Anybody who's lived in this town any amount of time knows it's eerie doing eerie things. And I don't even have to explain that statement because everybody out here listening to it is knowing that this is more of what we've always done. You know, I didn't come here to play the game. I didn't come here to make friends. I came here to change it. Yeah. You know, and if I'm only given one term to do that, then so be it. I'm not here to win a popularity contest. Maybe that makes me one of the few honest politicians are going to say, I'm not here, you know, trying to get reelected. You know, if the people see fit to reelect me, then so be it. But you have to make the right decisions based on what's best for the community, what's best for the taxpayer, and what's best for the next two or three generations. Yeah. Not for what a few people, oh, I might not vote for you over farm fields or a little library space.
I can maybe get the idea that Mary Rennie wouldn't be a good pick for the advisory board. And I'm thinking more of, if I was the head librarian, I'm not going to want the former head librarian looking over my shoulder saying, hey, we didn't do it that way. You know, that to me, that's just more on an interpersonal management dynamic thing.
Yeah, I mean,
but let me ask you this, because we had a couple of the ladies from Keep Our Library Public on the air last month.
Mm-hmm. I listened to
it.
Yep.
And they're asking me, why don't you challenge Brenton Davis on why he's belittling and dismissing our group and our people?
It's not belittling or dismissing. I mean, the democratic process lost. I mean, look at what we just saw in the presidential election, the whole Trump Biden stolen election, this, that, and the other. So what do? You lose an election and you say it's not fair? You know? I mean, this is literally the same thing, just on a different issue and on a different scale. The democratic process took place. We sign contracts in county government every day. And mind you, this is a contract that makes taxpayers money. This isn't even one that costs anybody money. I mean, it's just dumbfounding to me. You know, we're utilizing empty space. And people are going to say, well, the downstairs wasn't empty. The upstairs was. And we moved the computer lab back to where it was when previous executive Dahlkemper, where they had it upstairs.
They moved it for COVID, right?
And for whatever reason. And we relocated it back. And you go up there. And, I mean, there's a ton of people up there using it. And it's... You know, it's as lovely as it can be. But I mean, there's other factors. When you've got people that don't want to use the library, I mean, let's be honest with it. I mean, we had dozens of police incidents last year down there, the point where even A.J. Rao had to write a story and tell people and criticize, why do you need armed security in the library? Because we need armed security in our library. So now, not only does this bring taxpayers money, it helps bring research and education. It's going to bring more traffic through college students and researchers and lab visitors and all these other people down there. So that's value added. We're going to be able to make more investments in the Idea Lab and collaborate and make it look more like one of these Idea Labs at the universities as opposed to a little tinker space. You know, like it's leveling up the library. It's value added. It's bringing all these things there. So, I mean, bringing these opportunities and these resources, I mean, that's only a positive. It's only a positive. And it's just leveraging our resources. That's all this is. You know, I mean, I don't see anybody that can criticize that.
Well, again, you heard the conversation. There's a thinking from their side that this is the great leveling space is the library. It's one of the few spaces where it doesn't matter how much money you make or your position in life or what job you have. Everybody's welcome at the library.
Well, and to me, I sit there and look at it this way. So, I mean, yeah, we could even go one further, you know. So how is this the neutral space? I mean, I've said that from the very beginning. I told my staff when I took over and we hired a new library director, I said, we will be Switzerland. That is what our library will be. It'll be neutral. You know, and that's why we got into the whole LGBT, all the other stuff, you know, and staff members causing the ruckus that they caused, and that whole situation got blown out of proportion due to internal politics. It wasn't a decision from the administration. What it was is a group of, you know, conservative Muslim people that complained about it. And I said, listen,
to the library director?
To the library director and to the staff. And, you know, to me, that is how, like, okay, I mean, that might be offensive to someone, you know, but I mean, how do you balance to make everyone feel welcome? And the very thing that they're talking about, these same folks that want to say this now, neutrality and everybody should feel welcome, when other folks express their dissenting point of view, well, now we should dismiss it because you're X, Y, and Z. You know, so I mean, to me, I think this is a balance. It's nothing against Muslim people, conservative Christians, or people of an LGBT background. Like, how can you all coexist in the space and everyone feel welcome? You shouldn't elevate one voice over another. Nobody should go there and feel uncomfortable. You know, I mean, just, I even used an example the other day. What if we were to have a big buck drive and kids started from the county, started bringing their gutted deer down there? You know what I mean? In the parking lot, like, some people in Waterford would be like, heck yeah, let's do that. You know what I mean? My kid can win $500 for the biggest buck from the swamp.
Would not be down with that at all.
But my point, some people would be like, oh my goodness, this is offensive, but it's a part of somebody else's culture.
Right.
You know, sure. In the same way that it's like, look, okay, I can understand that. So, I mean, you have to weigh everything. And that's a part of governance, is kind of finding that happy medium.
Does it surprise you that the library is seeming to be this lightning rod these days?
Well, I look at it this way. When you disrupt the status quo, they're going to use any little morsel of anything to turn a molehill into a mountain.
Yeah.
I mean, a simple misunderstanding or even just a decision, an administrative decision to make this a welcoming place for all people got blown out of proportion as this is anti, you know, LGBTQ, which is not at all true. It's not at all true. I counted them. I think there was like 17 other LGBT displays in the library. But, you know, that's just Erie doing Erie things. There's a Republican in power, whatever they can do. And you see it with the constant, you know, I mean, the Times News, they're no better than Breitbart. I mean, the things that they report before they're even investigated, the things that have been investigated, they've been tossed. You know, it's like on every turn, they've tried to throw stuff at my administration. Mm-hmm. And every turn, you know, it's gotten tossed right back at them because people see the ridiculousness in what this is. You know,
some people would say that maybe you need to use a little more honey instead of vinegar.
Well, they're not sitting in this seat, and I can tell you, enduring what we endure every day, you're not gonna use honey to get a bull into the pen. I mean, it's just not gonna happen that way. You know, I mean, we do, like, the stuff I would say that the softer, gentler deal making approach. Those are things you never hear about. You know, it's the controversy. I mean, and I find the loudest people are either generally the most uneducated on the issue, or very plainly, they want your seat.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. All right, we got to pivot to talk about ECRA. We did hear back, just a few weeks ago, that the Auditor General was going to take up the case of looking at the books of the Erie County Gaming Revenue Authority. Of course, there's no timeline that I've seen. What is your take on all of that? You spoke in front of ECRA a few weeks ago. What was the point that you were trying to make there?
Well, I mean, one, it's been from the very beginning. I mean, and folks, I mean, kind of like you said, it's kind of like the perceived bull in a china shop. They just think I go around and start fires. I mean, I start out gentle with many things, just like I sat down with the board and said, hey, your costs are too high. You went from, you know, $200,000 when Kathy Dahlkemper was in office, standing in the very same place that I was standing, speaking in the same microphone, saying, you're spending too much money, your salary's too high, you shouldn't be giving a raise, you shouldn't be doing all these things. Well, Perry Wood's salaries went up $40,000 in the last 4 years. We paid for his doctorate. There's an additional $62,000 in personal reimbursements that he's received during that period. You know, I mean, that's above and beyond it. What now is paying $140,000 a year plus $25,000 in benefits and other perks. Like, you know, I mean, they're charging mileage. They're the only authority that charges mileage to drive downtown to spend taxpayer money to get a dang coffee to have a meeting. And this is habitual. You know, there's tens of thousands of dollars on Amazon. You know, I went there saying, hey, your expenses went from 300 and some odd thousand to 515,000. And I'm like, okay. And then it's met with kind of mind your own business. We don't answer to you. Well, you're going to find out that you do under the Home Rule Charter. And I think they've survived this a couple times before through, you know, County Executive Dahl Kemper, through the 2018 when they realigned it through the state legislature. I can tell you here and now, I'm not backing down on this. So, I mean, if they think they can stall and treat it like right to know public, I mean, that's like telling your boss that asks for information. Under law, I supervise you, directly or indirectly. Under the Home Rule Charter, that's law.
That was one of the most cringeworthy moments, is when you asked for the information
for Amazon,
and they said, well, it'll be
30 days. And what does that tell you? You know what I mean? That's like your kid's got his hand behind his back and like, were your hands in the cookie jar? Show me your hands. He's like, mm-mm.
Have you received it since? Has it been 30 yet?
Oh, I mean, they violated the right to know laws. I mean, it took well over 30 days.
Did it.
You know, and again, I mean, so now they've got $4 million of what, you know, the Building a Better Futures thing. So now they're out there in the community. It's $4 million of American Rescue Plan money that's, I mean, essentially, I believe is almost, in essence, misleading taxpayers to believe that this is ECRA money. This isn't ECRA money. The vast majority of this money is $4 million of American Rescue Plan money that was allocated in 2021. You know, so I mean, this is county money going out here to these communities. And then they're saying, oh, without ECRA, you wouldn't have this. Without the county giving the money to ECRA to administer. And that's where we've lost cause. And they say, well, we're apolitical. We're apolitical. Well, explain to me why you're spending $60,000 a year, $5,000 a month on a lobbyist for state and federal government. I mean, it's awful strange to claim you're apolitical, yet you hire a political lobbyist. You know, you spend another $36,000 for what? A social media management company, $36,000 a year. Well, you look at their posts. They got maybe 1,500 followers in over a decade. And then they post, oh, happy St. Patrick's Day. They get like 8 likes.
We have 2,000 followers.
Well, that's my point. I got about going on 6,300. So, I mean, like, and I mean, I don't have that kind of money in it. You know, so, I mean, we have. And that's originally my talk. I went there to say, let's find ways. We have empty office space. That's where ECRA originally was. Mm-hmm. You could share office space. We have a finance department that can hold on and allocate and, or, you know, account for the funds. You know, they'd still hire an outside auditor. You know, you'd have the ability to, one, reduce your overhead for your office staff, get it down to a grant manager like it was when it started in its original intent, reduce the overhead. You know, you've got public information officers. We got three of them in county government. Well, surely they could put up a happy St. Patrick's Day post, and what does that really do for anybody anyway? You don't have much of a following.
Let's be fair. They only have three employees.
It still doesn't matter. That's too many.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. Kathy Dahl Kemper even made these same points years ago, and the budget has ballooned almost twice when she was complaining about it. You know, or I wouldn't even say complaining.
So where's this,
I would say,
where's
I would
this
say
thing that, going? I mean,
it's going to go as far as it needs to go. I'm telling you right now, the Auditor General is going to, or, you know, the Auditor General is going to take a look under the hood. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that are questionable. You know, I mean, you look at, there's 157 cups of coffees that were put on a credit card. 157 plus, I mean, cases and cases and cases of Keurigs and all kinds of stuff. I mean, when you're traveling, like, you and your staff are claiming mileage. You got board members, for God's sakes, that are claiming mileage. You know, are you kidding me? Like, the Redevelopment Authority doesn't do this. Diverse Erie doesn't do this, both of which I've been critical of. And then when I asked them for their Amazon receipts, within 4 hours, Tina Mangine had every single credit card expense and Amazon receipt, and there was only like maybe a handful. You know, I mean, you look at ECRA's credit card history and you look at their Amazon history, it looks like somebody's household. Like, how is this right? You know, and if I, you know, as a taxpayer, I'm appalled, but I am elected this position to look out for the taxpayer. I'm not here to look out for somebody's job, but let's look historically. Let's say Erie doing Erie. Just follow here. You know, you've got a former political operative that used to be a staffer for Rick Filippi for the city, went to work here at the downtown or the DID or whatever that went under, well, now became the ECRA director. You know, you got Gary Lee, former director of administration under Kathy Dahl Kemper, became Diverse Erie for $150,000. You know, Tina Mangine. I mean, like, this is what we have done historically. It's politicos in these positions create these authorities for jobs for their cronies, and they're high paying. They pay more than what I make. Like, I run a nearly $600 million a year organization with 1,500 employees, and you make 40 grand more than the county executive, plus perks, plus benefits, plus Lord knows whatever you want to throw on a credit card for lunch and mileage. Like, this is a travesty. And you know, it's like, if they think they're going to clam up and they think they're not going to participate in the process, you know, and then we have $4 million this American Rescue Plan money on top of the Beehive money that went there. This is millions and millions of dollars that we've allocated to ECRA to oversee intelligent and accountable administration of funds. And I don't believe that's happening. When you lose faith in an organization, I just called them this week and I said, hey, you know, you've already outspent, you know, for a 3-year contract, you're authorized X amount of money. Well, you already spent all your overhead in 2 years. Like, you're in violation of a contract, you know? So, I mean, we need to make some adjustments. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. And then when you try to backpedal behind closed doors, like, that's the thing is I get on here and I tell the taxpayers exactly how it is. You know, I'm not hiding anything. I'm not playing any games with these people. You know, like, we're going to bring these things from the dark into the light. That's where it belongs. That's where you have the best transparency. Look at the travel claims for state reps in the Senate and all that stuff right. That's going on. Yeah. You know, when things are hidden in the dark in government, this is how this kind of thing happens. You know, and I bet you believe if you look at their credit card statements since I started asking about them in November, bet you it's crickets over there. You know, so I mean, that's why I'm here. You know, for this 4 years, if this is all I'm given, you know, and I even said that on this show is when I was still cutting trees as a carpenter. Like, I'll commit to one term to do the right thing. And where that leads from here, that's up to the voters of Erie County. But I'm not backing down. I'm not going away. You know, this isn't going to be the Dahlkemper charge 2.0 where we give up in 2018. You know, everything is coming out. And it's all in black and white. I would encourage taxpayers to go to ECRA's website, look under their expenses, pull out the tens of millions of dollars in loans, see where these are at. I mean, when you're giving out that kind of money and there's not loans being given out in Erie County, and you look at the Dominicks, how they had issues with I'm trying to think of the name, it's just slipping me right now, but I'll think of it, Bridgeway Capital. Right. You know, so I mean, you look at some of the stuff, we have a revolving loan fund right here at the Redevelopment Authority. If that's what you want to do, we should be giving this stuff out at 2-3%, not 12% at predatory lending and then recalling loans. But again, that's politics because, like, oh, ECRA doesn't want to work with our redevelopment authority. You know, this is Erie doing Erie stuff, protecting Erie people. This is the kind of stuff I got into office to change. So if they think I'm going away, I'll say it right here into the radio. I'll tell you what, there's a reason why their executive director. There's a reason why Perry Wood is not making any statements into the media. There's a reason why he won't do media interviews. I mean, I was probably listening right now. Perry, come on the show. Let's talk about it. Let's get these people some answers of where their money's going. I'll sit right here and I'll debate it out one side or the other in an open forum.
We'll see if that happens quickly. Jane Earle was interviewed by AJ Rayo regarding, she's the architect of the Gaming Revenue Authority. And she was pushing the autonomy as being the feature, not the bug, that it was supposed to be not governed by elected officials, by a volunteer board. Are you just kind of stepping in there where it's not appropriate?
No, 100%. So, I mean, to me, I'd say one, Jane Earle, that was in 2007, 2008. I mean,
it's a different county.
That's a long time. Yeah. So, I mean, this thing was updated in 2008, again in 2010, and again in 2018. It is morphed. It is absolutely morphed. And what Jane Earle was talking about is when Carolyn Gold was one person sitting in county finance, had a desk on the fifth floor, exactly like I'm talking about, returning it right back to where it used to be. You know, all this stuff, I mean, used to have to go before county council to get voted on, to have accountability, anything over $25,000. Like, what she's talking about, I would agree with Jane Earle to a point that, like, you look at Washington County. These are best practices on how they use their gaming revenue. When you're the only county in Pennsylvania out of 67 counties that has a gaming revenue authority that operates this way, Washington County doesn't pay a single dollar in salaries. That's what I'm trying to change this to. Mm-hmm. Imagine the 500, 600,000 or whatever we're losing. That's the problem, is you take money, You send it somewhere, somebody takes their 10%. They subgrant it to somebody else, they take 10%. Well, now you just lost almost 20% off the top. You know, and what could we do with these extra millions and millions of dollars? You can fund more programs, you can do more infrastructure, you can assist our residents, and most importantly, you keep their taxes low like you promised them when you put it on the ballot in 2008. That's the promise that I intend to make good on, and I'm not going away. And, you know, Perry, if you're listening, come on the show, pal.
We're going to leave it there with the county executive, Brenton Davis. I appreciate your candor, and I know, as far as what we're heading for in April, you might have an announcement, hopefully, maybe next month, if something bubbles up here. We'll see.
Well, I can tell you. I mean, the big announcement for next month is the solar eclipse, if you haven't heard.
Okay. Yeah, my listeners don't need any more reminder of that.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@talkerie.com.